Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
Welcome to Dare to Dream, where the extraordinary isn't fiction, it's the conversation. Today on Dare to Dream, ancient wisdom is going to meet galactic truth because we're diving into the living codes of consciousness with Althea Lucrezia Avanzo, a light language channeler and multidimensional healer who travels the world activating others into their highest potential and frequency. In this conversation, you're going to be receiving energetic insight into the current planetary grids. Discover how to manifest from zero-point neutrality and learn how to ground cosmic energy into real-world abundance. So if you're ready to expand 3D limitation and remember who you truly are, stay tuned. This is your episode. And if you'd like to find out more about Althea before we get started, you can go to her website, althealucrezia.com. And with that, I welcome Althea to the Dare to Dream show. Welcome back for the whatever time.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's so great to have you. Yeah, love. It's so good to hang out with you. And I know we get to hang out lots more coming up in a month and next year. I'm so glad we continue this journey and the support together. And I want to ask you here at the top, Althea, you have had encounters with extraterrestrial beings. You've also had abduction experiences. Can you share for the audience some specifics, a little bit briefly about your journey with all of that, and maybe who specifically you are connecting with?
Okay, so I have different types of connections to different galactics. So there's high vibrational frequency galactic beings that assist me with my higher version of self, bringing the codes and the light language. And then there's beings that are of different vibrational frequencies that almost initiated my ascension and awakening process. So there's two separate experiences that I had before kind of like aligning with the timeline where I'm in now, where I do this type of work and I do consistently connect to these high vibrational frequency beings. So the first experience, which in itself was finite, so it started and it's finished and it's closed its cycle, was I got abducted when I was about 3 months old. I was taken up on spaceship, and I actually remember this. And I know that they say that you can't remember before you're 2 years old, but I have this very, very distinct memory where I am lying on the floor in the middle of my bedroom, and I remember feeling like a wet nappy around my waist because I had peed myself because I was 3 months. And I remember like moving my head up and looking at the like metal blinds and feeling really scared. And then I remember in the morning turning my head because I could just, I think maybe I was 3-4 months, I could like literally just like get up a little bit and turn. I couldn't walk or anything. My mom opening the door and asking herself why I, how did I get from a cot with like bars, like or high, and I couldn't even stand, to the middle of the room. Like, and I remember she was holding like a white, like yogurt or like baby food or something like that. And that's a memory that stayed with me my whole life. And only when I was about 27, 28, when I started having like my ascension and awakening process expand, I understood that they actually took genetic material from me. They took me up on a ship physically. They took some material from me. And then they used it for part of a hybridization program. And I actually have a hybrid child that probably by now is maybe like 16, 17 or something like that. And this came to me when I was, 2017, 2018. I remember sitting in meditation and having this vision of this boy that came to my face, and his skin was like slightly grayer, like a little, and he had like big black eyes, very beautiful, but very loving. And he had also like dark hair. And we spoke telepathically, and he said that he was like my genetic child. And I just felt a lot of love. And I remember just crying and crying and crying and crying. And I kind of knew that it's a very strange thing because now I'm a mom. And at the time I wasn't, but now I'm a mom and I'm like, that this is like my child, but I didn't feel like an earthly attachment like I would feel to my child right now, if it makes sense. Like I understood and knew on like a higher level that this was how it was supposed to be, and I was never supposed to, like, I haven't connected to this soul since. And I think he just came to tell me, he validated my experience from when I was 3, 4 months old. He's like, no, this is real, this actually happened, this was why. And then that kind of like cycle closed, that experience and karmic experience closed, sort of thing. So that was one of the experiences that I had.
That is amazing. And I don't know if you know for sure, but when you describe this boy child, teenager at least now, of yours, it sounds like they used your genetic materials to hybridize with a gray being. Does that feel right? Because I know the grays are really one of the masters of this hybrid program.
And I just get like very like intense goosebumps, as you said, but that's what it felt like to me as well. It was always almost like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I'm very like curious. I generally ask, but in this instance, it was almost like, this is what it is. Like, you don't need to know or understand. You don't even need to have like a relationship with this child. Just know that it is a part of you. You are connected. It's a pre-contracted agreement and experience. And there was a lot of like crying when I cleared and I anchored into this experience. But it was almost like it closed itself. Like it gave itself closure. Like it's very weird. Like I've never I, there's it's not something that I can really explain in earthly terms, if you know what I mean.
I'm following though, I'm tracking all of this, and it sounds like such a gift that in a alone session, such as what you did just organically, spontaneously, once you had this discovery, that you were able to release and heal at that level so you can move on. That's huge. That's really huge. And it's kind of interesting because there are certain people I look at and I wonder, I know we all have thousands of extraterrestrial genetics in us. So putting that factoid aside, you're one of the people I look at and think, is she fully human? Because you also have these amazing eyes. Like there's something otherworldly about them. And I've always wondered that about you in particular, if you also maybe were part of a program. What do you think?
Probably. I mean, like I mean, I so I see it in Pleiades, so I feel like I have a lot of like Pleiadian DNA in me. Obviously, we can talk about the physical DNA and then we can talk about the etheric, the energetic, that exists beyond. So we made in two ways. We have this physical body and then we have our soul, so those are two separate things. But what I can say for sure is that I've wanted my hair like this since I was maybe like 6, 7, or 8 years old. And I remember mom being like, this child is like so weird. She was like, why? Like, I had like a quick phase where I had like a little bit of blonde, and I was like, no. And I can tell you, I wanted this color, and they like hairdressers still hadn't invented it. It wasn't a thing. People could not dye their hair this color when I wanted it like over 20 years ago. And I remember that I started doing it, and it was like a darker, like maroon red. And then as the years went on, it got closer and closer. And then eventually it got to this color. And then I found out that I've had similar resemblance in a lot of other lifetimes as well. So as the more I've been activating my memory, the more I've been like, oh, okay, there are traits of me within this human body that are similar to galactic versions of myself as well. And I'll tell you something else that's quite funny that's just come through to me that also, again, I found this out like quite later on in life. So I was actually born with zero wisdom teeth. Like they never, like my mom had two and my dad had two, and I was born with zero. And I was also actually born, like I still have 4 milk teeth and I have two less premolars on top and on the bottom. So I actually have, I think, like eight or 6 or 8 teeth less than the normal people. Plus, I don't have the wisdom teeth. And the doctor looked at me when I was younger and he was like, "You are actually the next step in the evolutionary process because we don't need them anymore. We're not out there hunting deer and having to, you know what I mean?" He's like, "We're gonna need less teeth moving forward." So I thought that was quite interesting. And I only met one other person in my whole life who has zero, but doesn't like, I still have milk teeth. And the doctor was like, "No, by the time she's 20, like they're gonna fall out and like they're still all in and like working perfectly." But like three of them, four of them are still milk teeth. So it's quite interesting. Yeah.
I've never heard of that before. Milk teeth, are these in the back or are these somewhere up
So
front?
milk teeth are the teeth that you like have like as like a child
To
before you
nurse?
change your teeth. No, before you ch yes, before you change your teeth. So the ones that are meant to fall out, basically. Yeah.
Wow. How
Yeah.
interesting. And I love this doctor, whoever this very progressive doctor was, who could say to your mom, these are the teeth of the future. It feels so in line with everything else we're hearing right now about telepathy is the way of the future. We're not even going to really need our mouths, to talk, and so much that's changing. This is amazing. And when you mentioned part of your journey that a lot of this happened to you before you hit this amazing ascension experience, is that ascension experience what unlocked multidimensional healing codes within you? Or were you always gifted? Did you always have something percolating in you?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So I come from a long lineage of psychic women. My grandmother was psychic. My mom is psychic. They've never done psychic work for a living, but they've all had the gift. Like it's from the woman in my family. So I was like that 12-year-old who bought a tarot deck, like at the bookstore sort of thing, you know? And I was fortunate enough that my parents were always like quite open. They weren't like opposing it. They were like, "Oh, well, if she finds, you know, the stuff interesting, whatever, good for her," sort of thing. And I've always been very active within my astral and dream space. So I've always been able to do lucid dream and control my dreams, so much so that when I was like, and this is another crazy story that they're sending me, like, you know, tell this story. When I was like 11 or 12, it was the weirdest thing. Like I was like, "Okay, I need to see this movie, like The Exorcist," which is a movie from the 70s, like a very scary movie that you wouldn't want like an 11-year-old to watch, you know, sort of thing. But I was like, "No, I need to watch, I need to watch, I need to watch it." And then I watched it, and then I was quite scared for like maybe 2, 3 months. I slept with the light on. But then after that, what started happening is it activated memory within me, and I started like doing exorcisms on people within the astral space, like in my astral body. And I would wake up like sweating, like, you know, what's going on? And I was like, you know, and then years on, they explained to me when I, you know, had more clarity and started downloading more information, they were like, "No, you had to see that early to understand what it was so that you could actually start working within the astral realms already at that time." So I was like, "Oh, okay, guys, like, thanks for putting me through that, you know?"
Wow, is that something that you do often or that you see in people often that you need to extract? I'm sure extractions is often these days because of frequencies and attachments and all this stuff. But what about the exorcisms? I mean, is that something?
Yeah, so it's not something that much that I do a lot anymore, honestly, because I'm operating in fifth dimensional density and up, also within my astral realm. But sometimes it does happen that, yeah, I need to, there's something that happens in the astral, and then I'm like, okay, and then I start like, and I use things like crosses. I call, you know, on the angelics, and you know, it does kind of like work a little bit like you see in the movies. Not always. Sometimes it's light from my hands or from my third eye. But now I have a cognitive understanding that is a lot more developed to what it was maybe like 10, 15 years ago. And so the way I would process and do this within the astral 10 or 15 years ago was more kind of like what you would know without having the understanding of, you know, these subtle realms like the light language and all of that. So it does still happen occasionally, but really not as much as there were like phases where I would like consistently. I do like three or four a night sort of thing, sometimes for weeks on end. Sometimes they'd send me to like random like famous people, or it would be like, or I would see things move from them through me and then clear them through me. Sometimes it would be whole groups of people that I would have to extract entities from, and then move through them. So yeah, it was definitely like, I've got a lot of kind of like these initiation stories that they put me through in order for me to be able what I do now at the level that I do it now.
Man, you are so brave. That is big, big, big. I'm a big scaredy cat, so I don't know. They'd have to do a lot of prep for me to be willing to go in there. When I was in my shamanic training, one of the many things, is a long, long, long program, and we learned a lot of healing, a lot of ways of using energy and so forth. But we did come to a point in the program where they said, "Now we're going to teach you how to clear houses, and then I can also do extractions in a shamanic way." And I found there were varying feelings that I had about it. I did the extractions with people many times, and I even bought a really expensive crystal for this to capture it. And then there's a whole cleansing thing that happens after. But I was always like, and the houses, done. Not if somebody wanted to know how, I was going to send them the list of how to do it or bring somebody in. I don't know. It's not in my wheelhouse. I think I'm just
I
too
understand. I get
scared.
called to house clearings here and there. Like, I physically will go every now and then. It's not a lot of them anymore. It was more beforehand. I don't mind it. If it's needed, I'll do it. It's not my primary thing that I do. But whenever I do a healing on someone, I will be clearing energy. So to an extent, it is, a clearing that
Excludes.
in itself as well. But
Absolutely. Yeah, and
yeah, I mean,
you just talked about light language, and I know you've described light language before as written, as sung, as drawn, even signed with hands. What really happens energetically when you receive those frequencies? Break that down for us so we understand.
so for me, it's almost like, because I've been channeling so often for so long now, my channel is fully integrated within my system and energy field. And the way I understand it, and I actually gave a talk to this about this in CLE, Conscious Life Expo, 2 years ago, where I actually explained the multidimensionality of the energetic channel within the system and energy field. So let's say that I'm channeling for a public, something public. It'll be different to my individual channel with a one-on-one, to my personal channel on myself, to how I will channel within a contained workshop sort of thing. But it's like a part of me. It's like it's automatic. I don't know how to explain it. It's not something like when I first started opening up my channel, I would have to like sit and call it in and ask, and and now it's just like integrated and embedded, embodied within my system and energy field. And it's generally a higher version of myself that comes through. I've got a ninth dimensional Pleiadian version and a 12 dimensional mantis being version of myself that I work very closely with. And they assist me with the coding, with the channeling, but it's just another aspect of me. So it's still me, you know what I mean? So, and this is valid for everyone. The more you heal, the more you start integrating multidimensional aspects and part of yourself, and the more your psychic gifts and intuition will start opening.
Fantastic. So many people right now, Thea, are feeling these planetary energies that everything's accelerating rapidly. From your perspective, what are the latest energetic updates that humanity is moving through right now?
Okay, so I mean, I was put through it like in between the eclipses. I was like, okay, what is like going on here? I remember clearing a lot emotionally. I do feel like now it's leveled out a little bit. It's kind of like we've grounded and balanced a little bit. And again, also it really depends based on your astrology as well. Like depends how much like you feel affected by the moon. So it's like sometimes I'll have full moons where I can't sleep at all, and all I'm doing is just pulling through codes to anchor in the grid. Sometimes I'll have moons where I'm exhausted and I need to sleep like 12 hours in a night. So it's very interesting. So, okay, let me tune in. I actually haven't checked what it's going to be like towards the end of the year, but what they're sending me now is, yeah, I think generally what I find is that the year doesn't really close within December. This is what I usually find. Like, obviously, you want to try and close your loose ends and set your intentions and start fresh in January and whatnot. However, from an energetic perspective, the tail end of the year is actually more towards the end of January. And then you move into like the new astrological year with end of March, you know, and then you've got that February in between period. So I would generally say towards the end of the year, trying to tie up like loose ends, setting your intentions for the new year. If you have projects, you know, write them down, calling your guides, work with them, you know, make a plan, make a list, take aligned action. I'm actually taking most of December off from clients this year, which I don't usually do, because I actually want to just focus and plan and organize and see how it can be. Obviously, you can plan to a certain extent, like as you know in this line of work, like you can plan, but then the universe will take you wherever. But yeah, if that's a suggestion I can give to people, I think try and take kind of like aligned action.
Yeah, that's so interesting you say that. I've never thought about that before. Well, that's almost completely aligned with Chinese astrology and the Chinese New Year, which starts in February,
Oh,
not
there you go.
January 1st. And that's a huge switch of energy, and especially coming up in 2026, where we leave the wooden snake behind, and that's been a lot for everybody, letting go, letting go, letting go, releasing what no longer serves us. People are like, oh my God, on the world stage, on the personal stage, situational stage, so much is falling away and so many hard choices to make. But we have to do that. And the great news about doing that is that it brings in the year of the horse, a number one year instead of nine. And that's all about beginnings. So we have to let go in order to bring in and be open. And I really like that you just gave us an extension on creation. Of course, we're always creating every moment. However, the idea of the bigger goals, the bigger things we want to manifest, the desires in our career, love, health, body, everything, families, it's very, very important. So this is an extension, and we really have through February, and then March is when everything's going to make this big shift. And so, in line with that, you work with multiple grids, earth grids, crystalline grids, galactic grids. So cool. Can you explain their differences and how can we consciously interact with them?
Yeah. Okay. So this is the talk that I gave last year at the CLE. So
Who
funny that you ask. There's actually a whole 90-minute talk that I do on the different grids. It should be up on my YouTube channel or on the CLE one. But yeah, it's like a big topic, but I can speak a little bit about it briefly. So you have different energetic grids that you can connect to. So you'll have your planetary grid, which will have to do with the earth and the planet itself. And so, you know, like the history of the planet, like Atlantean lifetimes, the information, the wisdom, Mother Gaia, you know, and you can get information from that. Then you will have your solar system grid, which contains the planetary grid as well and contains all the other planets. Each planet has its own grid. You will then have universal and galactic grid. So the galactic grid will kind of like be more like in our galaxy, and the universal grid will be the more like all-encompassing. Okay. And then you have the collective consciousness grid, which is the one that connected straight to source consciousness. That one encompasses all the other grids. Then you have your Akashic grid, which will encompass, you know, all kind of like the past, parallel, previous, future timelines. And then you have different universal grids, which anchor into different universes, which have different rules and different universal laws from ours. So let's say there's another universe where time works backwards and gravity goes upwards, or whatever, you know, like you can conceptualize sort of things. So my advice is to start off working with the planetary grid. And yeah, I mean, you can work with the consciousness grid, with the with you know going into yourself, into your heart center, and connecting to source consciousness. You will have your 3, 4, and 5D grids as well. So your 3D grid will be your very earthly grid connected to your planetary grid. Your 4D grid will be your more astral grid. So you have your lower, middle, and higher tiers, and then your 5D grid will be your 5D, which works beyond the constraints of space and time, which is also connected to the collective consciousness grid. So it's easier when you have a diagram and you're explaining it, if it makes sense. But yeah, I think, you know, you can envision them the way that you want to. I see them as like, if you imagine the earth, so the earth grid, I see it either as like icosahedrons. So it's all like triangles and where the points meet, and then the other one is all hexagons where like the points meet, and where the points meet is where there's you know, when you have kind of like these energetic alignments of numerology, or when there's, you know, openings and things like that, that's where the energy will kind of like come out, and you can anchor and work with it. And understanding that these grids exist, they exist on a physical and on an energetic level as well. I mean, sometimes it's like trying to put into like English and visuals these like incredibly complex geometric figures that, you know, sometimes we see or we get sent. But yeah, anyone can connect to the grids, you know, and if you want to connect to the Akashic grid, that's a good one to connect to as well, because it can help with clearing, you know, your parallel or previous lifetimes, understanding karmic patterns and connections to other humans, and also understanding that you will only be able to connect to the Akashic grid if you're doing it out of a space of genuine, like wanting to get better. If you want to connect because you want to know if your partner is cheating on you, that's very ego-based. You're not really going to be able to get the answer that you want. So there are some kind of like universal rules and laws and regulations to this kind of work, at least from what I abide to, just so that I can make sure that I'm in integrity the whole time. But it's definitely a very interesting world to explore.
Absolutely. There's a lot of people who are very called organically to want to work with the earth alone and help heal the grids, places where there's been war, places where there's been genocide, places where something has happened catastrophic on the earth throughout history. But they also get this intuitive knowing about where to go. And I've been with people who have placed crystals and done these beautiful rituals for the earth. And thank you to folks who do this, because this is very loving, respectful, and I think karmically correct work to do for a planet that we live on and often use as a resource instead of the goddess that she is. So I thank people who do that work. Thank you, Althea. And
I did a big clearing for a mermaid massacre in 2022, yeah, off the coast of Mozambique. I didn't know why I was getting sent there, and when I arrived, I saw that I was part of about 500 mermaids that had been massacred and killed on that beach. And so I did some energy work to clear that grid and restore it to its organic template to assist the ascension process of the planet.
Do you ever feel a thank you anyway, vocally or energetically or a
I don't need it.
peace after you do that?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't need it. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like, I don't feel like I'm doing something that I need to be thanked for. I feel like it's the minimum that I can do. That's kind of like how I see it. But of course, I feel gratitude in my heart. You know, of course, I know that the earth is grateful and the guides are grateful and everyone's grateful. You know, I try to anchor in gratitude, you know, consistently throughout my day. But yeah, I don't know how to explain it. It's almost like, yeah, I don't need to be thanked. Like, you know,
Okay.
do you know what
Well, you also speak about zero point neutrality as a key to manifestation. And I understand that concept because I have existed before for periods of time in what I call no thing. No thing, nothing. Like nothing is there. And from that space of no thing is where I was able to create what I preferred and come out and have that experience and proof. How is that for you? And how does somebody reach that 0 point neutrality, even amidst chaos or amidst desire?
So there's a lot of different methods that you can use. I think a good one is meditation. Like meditation is a tool like anything else. You know, you don't have to be a master meditator to operate from a 0 point neutrality vibrational frequency, but it does help. I find that controlling your emotions, and I don't mean suppressing or spiritually bypassing or ignoring them or brushing things under the carpet, but responding instead of reacting, being in control, not allowing your emotions to control you. That's a really powerful place to start, you know? Gratitude, like we mentioned, I think if you start your day with gratitude, it doesn't matter what happens, you're grateful for anything that comes across your way, and you're holding this vibrational frequency of gratitude. And that makes it easier to be responsive instead of reactive whenever things come your way. Doing shadow work, making sure that you understand your triggers. Okay, why is this triggering me? And then once you understand it, okay, now I can respond to it. And this is what I always explain. It's like when something comes your way, whether it's like a question, an experience, a trigger, you know, take a moment and ground into yourself before you respond. And only when you're present in that 0 point neutrality, you can actually see the different options of the different timelines of the different choices that you can make. And then you can make the choice that is for your highest alignment. You can make the choice that is anchored into the highest vibrational frequency aligned action needed for you at that moment in time to progress within your ascension and awakening process.
Thank you. Beautiful. So I know you're going to be doing channeling activation for us very soon. And I just want to take a quick pause here, my friends, because I want to invite you deeper into this work. I've got something special for you. You have got to get your free gift. This was put together with a lot of love and care. So many of you out there, especially after you hear Althea talk about, well, we have our genetic component of all the different galactic species we're from, but we also have a soul predominant, some path, a species we really resonate with. And it might be more than one, but it's usually a small amount that is deep for us. If you don't know this information, I have a free starseed video and report for you, and you can get your copy now. Go to debbiedashinger.com/starseed. That's debbiedashinger.com/starseed. And if you're ready for profound personal transformation, I am doing monthly shamanic healings. You've been hearing this from me for a long time. Thank you to those who sign up. It's been a grand journey. Once a month, 90 minutes, we go deep into clearings, activations, soul alignments. Now, this is the galactic beings, the luminous beings connected with the shamanic beings who show up for us to do this work. You can sign up now for the next one. They are different every single month. debbiedashinger.com/healing. And we'll talk about this a little bit later. Althea is doing a beautiful event online so you can all attend. It's called Portal of Remembrance 1111 Galactic Conference. This is a multidimensional activation, and she's got galactic speakers, extraordinary lineup. We've got Sarah Bressman Cosmi, Debbie Solaris, me, Steve Noble, Tony Gazzi, Neil Gore, Althea, and more all in one event. So you don't want to miss this. Go to galacticconference.com right now, and you can sign up or wait till after the show, because all the links will be in the show note description. And finally, if this conversation means something to you and you're here, so I assume it does, and a lot of you are here every single week for these conversations, hype this video. It helps. Your support by subscribing, commenting, and hyping helps us reach more starseeds, more light workers around the globe. So we also want to feel supported by the community. We show up and give like this. So for the first 7 days after I publish a video like the one you're watching right now, you have the option to hype it on YouTube. Viewers can hype videos for free up to 3 times a week. Please do it. And with that, I'm going to bring Althea Lucrezia Avanzo back to the show. And what do you feel energetically to do with us and for us right now? Would it be channeling, clearing, activation, a buffet?
I'll do everything together except the buffet.
Okay.
How to materialize food out of thin air. I'll let you know when I do learn how to do that. But I'll do a full system upgrade, clearing, releasing. And remember, guys, the light language goes where it's needed for you at that moment in time. It bypasses the conscious mind. Don't try to understand what I'm saying. Just clear your mind, surrender, allow for the codes to come in and go where they're needed, okay?
Thank you. Yes.
Perfect. So you can just all start by closing your eyes and anchoring into the body as you find a comfortable breathing rhythm. With every inhale, you breathe in light. And with every exhale, you release all that doesn't serve you anymore. As you relax body, system, and energy field, you stay in a space of openness and oneness. As we call on the Archangelic Collective, Michael to the south, Uriel to the north, Raphael to the east, and Gabriel to the west. We call on Archangel Metatron with his blue cloak of protection from above and Sandalphon to seal the grid from below. As we call on our higher self as our spirit guides and anyone else who wishes to be present for the greatest and highest good, you're welcome in this space. Okay, opening systems. Ranat creo corocot crassiareta crocat crassiese corocot crassiereatra. Triatri crocot. Releasing, 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 opening, releasing, opening, 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 neo, rat croaishereata, rat corcoaishereatra. Tria hashese corocot crassier corocot crat creatriat creo corocoaishetara. Tranaria tria creo corocot crassierata corocoroc, releasing, 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 letting go. Letting go of all that doesn't serve you, clearing, expanding, expanding into more light, divine rays, anchoring, 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 light, anchoring, anchoring, anchoring. Anchoring, 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 anchoring. Ashiat crua kera ishiraya tra tre 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 traia tre kurukut kraisia shkrukuare ishiraya tra creo kurukua ishiraya tra tria kiero kurukut krasia shit krasiera shiro kurukut ka shira tra trat kreasiero kuruku aishina ya tra tria kret crua ishia sie kurukuchkia ra tra kriat kre ukura ya sira tra Trashiero corocot crassiera isheraya taracle, releasing, 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 letting go, letting go, letting go, letting go, surrendering to more light, divine rays, anchoring, 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 expanding, expanding, expanding into the heart, expanding, rashiero corocot crassiera. Rising, 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 clearing, releasing, 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 balancing, balancing, balancing nervous system, balancing, 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 balancing the spinal column, balancing circulation, blood, clearing, releasing, 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 more light, divine rays, anchoring, 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 anchoring. Trakiero korokot ka ishera ya tra kre aishero koroko aishia. Shet sasoro ko kachkiera tra. Tichkiera ta kra krokot kroa iset ka ishena ya tra. Tra kreo korokot krasia ishera tara shera tara. Triat kreo korokot krasia ishet kara ishena ya tra. Triat re krokot kroa ishe kasie si krokoro aishera ya tra. Shukrukuraya tre krokot krasia ishera tara. Shuk shuk. You can slowly start grounding and anchoring back into the body. Closing, sealing, 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 closing, sealing, sealing, closing. And coming back to the physical vessel. And you can choose if you would like to stay in process. You're welcome to stay in process. The codes will carry on working within your system for the next few hours. Sometimes it can take a little bit of time to integrate everything, up to 3 weeks for full integration of everything. Just be mindful and aware that you might move through emotions and have things come up. But yeah, just take it as it comes. And thank you, everyone, for being present. How are you feeling?
I definitely didn't want to come back, but this is my show, so that was concerted effort. I really loved when you started balancing the nervous system and started going through those components. That's when it really took hold for me. And I don't, it's so interesting, I kept seeing myself with a lion's face, and I just had such an urge, like, to do this with my hair. And I got a little in my head because I was like, I'm so feminine. I felt so feminine as the lion. And yet I had this just mane. And then I was really, as you were doing all this stuff, it was so interesting because I was feeling the enormity of the body as that being. And I thought, how interesting, it has such a big rib cage. And in this life, in this Debbie body, I'm 110 pounds, but I have a rib cage. Like, I will only get so small on top of me because I literally have those bones holding me. It's the first time I ever had that awareness of that lion body and this human body. That was super interesting.
That's very beautiful. Yeah. And it's interesting that you say that because I've seen you before in your lion form. I can't remember at what event it was. Maybe it was at the 7-7 at the Starseed Conference that I remember saying to you, we were in person. So it was either there or one of the CLEs. And I remember saying to you, I saw you like as your like lioness being with like this huge mane. So it's interesting that that came out when I was channeling again now.
More powerfully than ever before. I know that affinity I have for them. I know they're my family, but I've never seen it before, So thank you. That was really, really nice. And I just want to tell folks, kind of like me, you can go back and listen to this again. It's out there forevermore. Amen. So you can enjoy this and maybe go deeper every time. So nice, this ability you have.
Thank you.
You have mentioned that who you work with is this ninth dimension, and I'm coming back still.
It can see. It's
It's coming. There's this ninth dimensional Pleiadian version of yourself coupled with this 12th dimensional mantis being. I love that they work in concert with you and for you. What wisdom are they bringing to humanity right now? Do they have a message that we should be receiving or should know?
So generally, the what they always send through to me, like the Pleiadian energy, is very much in the heart. So it's very much okay. Like check with this. Everything that goes on here needs to be checked with this, and then this brings you to the body awareness. Check it with the body. You know, like make sure that whatever direction, whatever decision, whatever you're doing, needs to feel good in the body and the physical. Because this can lie to you. This can deceive you. You know. But the body won't, like you will know from the body. And what's coming through from the mantis being, which is quite interesting and aligned, to be mindful of the technology use, to be mindful that the technology works for you, you don't work for it. And this is, I think this is a whole podcast topic in itself.
It's huge right now.
But I didn't expect that to come through, but he was like, this is what you must say. So I was like, okay, sure. That it works for you, you don't work for it, and it's an essential component of the evolutionary process. It just needs to be balance within it, you know? And so yeah, that's kind of like what came through.
That's so appropriate right now. That's very much what I get every time I check in about, and the changes are massive right now. They're so rapid. They're so fast. Some we don't even know what's going on and what's coming down the pike with AI and all this opening up to this new technology. I only have very good feelings about it. And I like this guidance, this mantis being guidance saying, just use discernment. Right. And it works for you. Don't you work for it. That feels really good. I think it is here. I don't think it's going away. I hear some things out there. And my take on it, when I hear people say very alarming things about the new technology, my filter is that this is an old trauma for them, that they've lived through AI wars, right? Yeah. Something that is triggering them that this could happen again. But my sense is not at all that
we hear it. And we've already entered the lower tier of positively polarized fourth dimensional density Earth ascension. So we're not going to go down like we heading into the organic timeline. But I was in Atlantis. I remember the machines taking over. I remember these huge, like spider-like machines coming down from the skies and like killing people. And like, I have memory of that. And a lot of people are here to learn to integrate that in a healthy way. But yeah, I also don't think, I mean, I have faith in humanity. I'm very happy to be here. I think we're in a wonderful time. And yeah, I mean, this is my world and my reality. I choose to, you know, believe in the positive, let's put it that way.
100%. And I think this is a beautiful opportunity for all of us, wherever this trigger comes from, because there's many places galactically and also on this earth where these technology issues occurred, to remember that our soul chose to be here to reframe this, to heal this, to say, oh, I get the opportunity to do this again, but I don't ever have to replicate the choices of before. So we're always sovereign. We're always in choice and we can create a new outcome. And so, yeah. Embrace and use the discernment you're talking about. Beautiful. And do you have any daily practice that you can share with folks that helps you stay present? You mentioned meditation is very big for you. You mentioned coming from the heart, which I love because this is such a time to leave this behind. That served us in the industrial age, but it is the time of the heart. And especially, I guess what I want to add to this is I have such a grand awareness of who's being born right now. It makes me very emotional to think about these magnificent beings who are taking over the planet and the gifts they're coming into their bodies with and their lives with. And so for those of us who are older than them, but we're going to bequeath the earth and humanity to them, what can we do while we're living between dimensions and very interesting times to stay very peaceful, very present, very knowing of who we are and why we're here?
So I think when it comes to practices, like, so I used to meditate a lot. Now I don't need to anymore. I do think meditation is very useful. I find meditation in every single action that I carry throughout my day. Mm-hmm. I try to always go back to gratitude. So I start my day with gratitude. I start my day with calling in my guides. For me, it's also so important to move and to exercise. So I will spend like at least like an hour, sometimes two, like doing like physical exercise, whether it's like in gym or at a yoga class or sometimes both. Like, I have to move because of the amounts of energy that moves through my body. I need to move through it. It's like a non-negotiable for me, exercise. Mm-hmm. So that's a big one. If you want to feel good, like feel good in the body, you know what I mean? Like move it and move it around. And then, I actually put, so funny, I posted a carousel recently this week of my six daily non-negotiables. Then, another one that I have is consistently bringing myself back towards myself. So if something triggers me, like understanding, okay, What is this? Why is it triggering me? And just doing like small things of consistent shadow work throughout my day if I feel like I need to, so that's something I do every day. And then checking in with your loved ones, like finding time to do that. Like we only have, a certain amount of time here with our loved ones, so it's nice to be able to connect in that way. And then another thing that is non-negotiable for me is doing something creative that helps with my inner child and my creativity on a daily basis. So that's a few things that people can do to just like raise their vibrational frequency daily.
Those are such great, those are really great. I love those. And I'm clearly, it even says in my human design chart, my astrology, you have to exercise.
Oh,
And
there you
it's
go.
true, right? I know that is so for me as well. And I really love the one that you said about coming back to yourself. That is so powerful right now. Like that should be a pause for people to ingest that. I recently, I think it was last week, there's somebody who I'm really not connected with. I find them very, very, very triggering. They do these, they're very big in the world and they do these big like rant YouTubes, and they were saying stuff about something I had been involved in. It had nothing to do with me, but I'm very protective of people and things I love, and I don't understand that. That's the problem too. There's a lot of confusion that happens for me, so it really triggered me. And I have a friend, I have such beautiful friends who are in the healing arts and, pretty profound. And my friend said to me, "You have to take yourself out of their field and come back here." And I so got that when she said that. Like, oh my God, yeah. That was like a swirling thing of chaos that belonged to that being that I stepped into and let it carry me away. And then, very much like you said, had my reactions, not my choices about how to respond. And as soon as she said that, I recognized the extraction of coming back to self. And in where I am, none of that exists, you
Doesn't
know?
matter. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't even matter. And so that's even on the world stage, people can use this with things you think something's going on that is confusing or upsetting or any of that. Again, that's a whole energy unto itself. People can make a choice to extract. It doesn't mean you don't care, it's very different. But it's about self-care, and it's very deep to cut that energy with something else that you probably would never do or be anyway.
Yeah, definitely. And most of the time, when people talk about others, they're just projecting like their own stuff. Like, that's what I've figured out. Like, it's never got much to do with you as an individual. If someone chooses to speak about you in a negative way, then that's like they just look ridiculous because they just projecting their own stuff. That's kind of like how I see
I
it.
agree. Oh my
You
goodness.
know what
I
I mean? Like
agree.
they're literally like anyone who has even a basic understanding of how like human psychology works would be like, oh, okay, well, they obviously are having like their own issues, and that's why they feel the need to, like extrapolate on this and that and give energy to someone else. Like, who cares, like I think it's different when it comes like if there's a boundary that needs to be set. Do you know what I'm saying? If someone is going around saying, oh, you stole this thing, like you can be clear, like, oh, actually, I didn't steal this. I don't know why this person is saying it. And then you're setting a boundary, because if you don't, then you kind of like are saying, oh, this is okay that he's saying it. So you do need to set a boundary. But when it's, like so outside of your field and you're just like, well, I don't like, I'm just vibrating above it without spiritually bypassing it. You're like, well, it's just, I choose to not let it affect me,
Thank you. Yeah, that it's so relevant out there, and I've even seen people do it publicly. Something happens and they feel this need to rant. I get it. We have emotions. We have to process emotions. I totally get it. But I guess I've just never understood that level of public platform, rather than taking the shadow of probably what that is, the wound and all the big soup. the big buffet of what those emotions are, and actually working on them yourself or hiring someone to work on them with to get clarity and release and all of that. I've always found that very interesting. And I've seen some interesting things over the years. People I kind of know, people I don't really know, but just who, there's something about that public platform. I don't quite get it, but I don't think they get the feeling.
Yeah, I have very specific boundaries when it comes to like public, like, you know, I will always talk about my experience if I'm moving through stuff. I mean, I've cried like live on YouTube, you know, because I was moving through emotions and things like that. And I think it's important that people, you know, people like me and you who speak publicly, I think it's important that people who follow us know that we're human and we move through stuff and it's normal and it's okay, you know. And I think in that case, it's productive to show your emotions, you know. But when it comes to like giving energy to like negativity or like other people or like fights, like I personally don't get it. There's so many other things that you can use your platform for that are a lot more productive. That, like, you know what I'm saying? Why would you choose to put your energy in that? Like, I just don't get it. But for me, like, and this was a problem for me in the past, and I had to learn to put really strict boundaries because I've had so many lifetimes in these very high vibrational frequency places where they didn't have these emotions. Like, I don't have like an envious or jealous bone in my body. Like, I don't even know what, like, you're another beautiful woman, be beautiful, be happy, go out there. You know, I would never, you know, and there's a lot of women, unfortunately, who aren't like that. And I had to, you know, being like a pretty girl myself, like growing up, like I got backstabbed a lot and I had to learn the hard way. And then I was explained from my guides, they're like, no, it's because you've had so many lifetimes in these planets where it's a lot happier and people don't have these like low vibrational frequency emotions. So I had to actually learn how to navigate and manage other people doing like horrible, like not nice things to me, like backs, especially women, you know, with like envy and jealousy and things like that. And for me, it's just like so far beyond like how I live and want to live and understand like life and reality. But some people like choose to focus and it's their journey and it's their experience to navigate and go through that. But I had to do the reverse process. I had to like understand, oh, like, how, like, why, do you understand where I'm coming from?
1,000%. I can imagine you are a beautiful woman and you're a very unique looking woman and a powerful woman. And I've seen the same out there. Silly, silly, silly. I mean, you know, even on the world stage, you know, it goes from micro to grand. And on the world stage, when you see celebrities do it to one another and all the horrible things that people have said over the years about Taylor Swift, and God, look at her now, you know, I mean, engaged to the love of her life, unbelievable career. That woman, that girl, how she can crank out and write music. What a gift, you know? So whether you're a Swiftie or not, doesn't matter, but she is a beautiful woman. She's a very talented woman. And I agree. I think to admire this in others, when we compare, all we're doing is telling ourselves, but I'm not that, but I'll never
be that. I'm not good enough. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And you don't want to be that or do that. You want to tell yourself you're as fucking fabulous as that next person, right? In your way, with your own stuff. So I think this was a good conversation because I think it's a powerful thing that people experience out there. So thank you for going there. And I want to talk about where can people find you next? What do you have going on? I know we have two events. So first, let's talk about you in general, because I know people are attracted to what you do.
Yeah. So I don't do a lot of public appearances. It's usually like one or two a year. So I will be at Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles. I think it's like the 19 or 20, 21st, 22nd of February. So I'm going to be speaking there. I'll be on an ET panel, which is probably, I don't know if it's probably your one. I'm usually on your panel.
Yes, exactly.
And then I'm going to be talking on the Saturday night at 8 p.m. But the tickets are live from the 1st of November. So if you come to the Conscious Life Expo, I will be around for all 3 days. I will be there. I will be at talks and mingling and talking and chatting. So that's like my one main public appearance that I do. And then I will actually also be talking at the Glasgow conference at the end of August. Yes, you there as well. I've seen in that one too.
Yes.
Yeah, so for those of you who are in Europe and you don't want to fly all the way to LA, but you do want to come meet me in person, that's the other second public appearance that I will be doing this year that will be in Glasgow. So those two are confirmed. And then I am also running a retreat. I will be doing a retreat in Mexico in November. So I will be opening early birds for that around
November
no
2026.
yes November 2020. Sorry, yeah, thank you for specifying that. Yeah, November 2026. So that's about a year from now. So those are my three main public events that I'm going to be doing. I will also be doing a training, okay, and this is like a once-off thing. I'm doing a psychic light language and ascension in-person training when I'm in Los Angeles. This will be the week after the Conscious Life Expo, so it'll be the last week of February. I only have three spots left for that. It's a once off. I will not be doing this again, and I will literally be teaching you everything that I know. It's like 5 days, I think like 6 hours a day, a few days, and then 8 hours, and it's just like full on all day, every day. So, yeah, it's going to be really, 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 really powerful. All of this you can find. Well, for the LA training, you can find everything on my website. There's payment plans, or just you can send me an email. I'm sure all my information will be right here below. I'm still running my 6 week and 6 month programs. That's my online trainings that I do. Those are one-on-ones. Again, it is a kind of training. I mainly train people to do what I do, activate light language, open up to your psychic gifts, intuition, and really find out what it is, the direction that you want to go down, and just kind of like live a better life, you know, in general. Even if you don't necessarily want to be an energy healer, but you want to work on yourself, like I can help you. And because, you know, I'm so divinely guided, it's beautiful because every person that I work with, it's so organic and different. And I learn so much when I connect to every single person, you know. And then if you go on my website, I've got about 20 different workshops on like manifestation, psychic attacks, or abundance, releasing attachments, energetic cords. I mean, you name it, like it's on there. And then obviously the Galactic Conference, which is the next closest thing that I have coming up on the 11/11. Tickets are $55, and the link will be below for that as well. I think that's kind of everything. I know it's a lot, but
Yeah, so and is there anything else you want to say about the 11/11 conference? What people will be receiving when they attend, why to attend, that sort of thing.
yeah. So this is the second one that we're running. We did the 8/8, which was the Lionsgate portal, which was so powerful. You will get so many activations. And guys, there's a 10-minute time where you can ask questions to all the speakers. And this is like my vision and why I love it, because it's so interactive and you get a chance to ask, you know, your speakers, like the people that, you know, you look up to and that you're coming to hear, you get a chance to ask them questions. So that for me is like one of the most beautiful parts. We will have a special guest, the Conscious Life Expo and the Galactic Federation of Light Apparel. They will be speaking about their mission and what they bring as well. And then all the beautiful speakers that Debbie mentioned as well. So we have Debbie Solaris, Sarah Brisman Cosmi, Tony Gonzi, Neil Gore. There's me and Steve Nobel. So connect, come through. It starts at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the 11/11. So we've got a lot of 11s. For people who buy the ticket beforehand, you will have access to the recording. So if you cannot make the day, you will have access to the recording. There will be no ticket or recording available after the event. So you need to buy it before the event starts.
Fantastic. And your website is your name, Althea Lucrezia. I mean, it's literally how it sounds, but I'll spell it just in case, LucreZia.com, AltheaLucrezia.com. My darling, I love you so much. Thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for gifting us with this amazing vision, work, mission of why you're here. It really means a lot.
Thank you. And thank you again so much for having me. I can't wait to see you at the 11/11 and to get to hug you at CLE.
Fantastic. So much good coming up. And I also just want to echo something that Althea said, which is again, also in August 2026, Glastonbury, UK. Wow, if you've never been to this town, I was there last year. It is this wild, witchy, wizard, metaphysical town. It is so magical. And we had such an amazing time. So it wasn't just the event and getting to know people in this witchy place, but it was also, we would hang out, we'd go to the pub, we'd go to eat, and it's Neil, Portal to Ascension. He makes this very grassroots, very homey. He's a great connector. So you will have an amazing time. And again, there's an incredible lineup of speakers. It's going to be magical. Everything, when it becomes available, is in the show notes, in the description. So you'll see 1111 there. You'll see Conscious Life Expo there. You'll see Althea's website there. So you can make the contacts. And then when these other things become available, you'll see those links as well. This has been Dare to Dream. I'm going to remind you with this ending quote from Althea. When we remember that we are a bridge between heaven and earth, manifestation becomes remembrance and healing becomes homecoming. This has been Dare to Dream for curious souls connecting with extraterrestrial life, higher dimensions, and ancient shamanic wisdom. Next week on the show, I'm featuring Matt Kahn, named one of the top 100 most spiritually influential living people. He's the star of the documentary film Heal by Love, featured on Gaia TV, and speaker at leading consciousness events. And Matt will be here with his wife, Joy. They are co-authors of the new book, Awakening of Intelligence. Thank you so much for joining us today on Dare to Dream. Remember to hype, like, subscribe.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DEBBIDACHINGER. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, your number one transformation conversation.